I remember as a much younger man, seems like yesterday, only as a man grows older can he understand what the psalmist meant when he said that life is as a vapor. It vanisheth away. Says the grass, which is grown up, and then when the noonday sun comes, it withers. And we are all passing away. Some say that's a morbid thought. And to a young person, the last thing on earth they want to think about is the mortality that they have. And as men get older, they try to put it out of their mind. But the reality is that every breath that we take brings us one step closer to that last breath that the Lord will give us. And we shall take our flight from this realm into His very presence. I started off by saying I remember as a younger man listening to a radio broadcast that came on Sunday evenings about 11 o'clock at night. It was on a clear channel station. It was on an AM station out of Cincinnati, Ohio. And I heard things preached on that I'd never heard in my life. And it was a blessing to me. And every Sunday evening when I could, I would turn that on and listen. A lot of times you couldn't pick it up real good, but most of the time you could. And they advertised a record, I can tell you how long ago that was, had some singing on it. And that song we just sung there, Dark and Thorny is the Desert, was one of the songs on that record. I'd never heard a song like that in my life. And it has remained to me a great blessing. And I believe a strength as we think on those things that are set forth in it. I don't even know who wrote it. I've tried to find out over the years, but it seems to be lost in time. You know, oftentimes men think that they will set forth memorials and they'll be remembered. But what difference does it make who actually wrote that? Because God was the one that gave that to someone, gave those thoughts, and they wrote them down. And He didn't give it to them so they might be remembered, but He gave it to them so that the Savior might be exalted. And may that be our desire this day, you know, as we come together, that we have no other desire. I cringe when I go places and somebody comes up to me and asks me, am I the preacher? And I don't know how to answer that. Some might say I'm a preacher, and sometimes I feel like I'm a preacher. But that word is fraught with so many things in people's minds, like somebody that's a preacher, that they're something special. Preaching is a gift from God. Man can't preach unless he's sent. And because a man has preached one time doesn't mean he's going to preach again. And so that's why I'm reluctant to say I'm a preacher, because I don't know if I'll ever preach again. I believe I have preached. I believe I've been sent to preach from time to time, but only as the Lord enables a man can he preach the Word of God. Now, I can get up here and talk to you for long as you want me to talk. You know, that's not a problem. I mean, I can talk about a lot of stuff. But preaching's different than talking. Preaching's different than teaching. Teaching's good. You ought to have it. Need it. But only as the Lord in his mercy and kindness, is pleased to send forth his message through the lips of a preacher, can we hear the word of God? And may he do so this day. We're looking here in chapter 8 of Mark. Chapter 8 of Mark. It says, in those days, the multitude being very great, having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came to the parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than 1 loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, yet neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember? When I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They said unto him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man to him, and he besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the town, and when he had spit upon his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw anything, if he saw aught or anything. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and by the way he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. But some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and saith unto him, thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. And when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Now in this chapter we see somewhat of a continuation of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ as he walked among men, and the fact that he went about teaching and gathering great crowds unto himself. Now that's the goal of preachers today, by and large, is to get great crowds. I mean, a man thinks he's really done something if he's got him a great crowd. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't really care to gather great crowds. In fact, he often tried to avoid them. He went off into desert places, but the people followed unto him. He wasn't trying to gain a following as he walked among men. What he came to do was to do his Father's will and to declare the truth of God to all who would listen. And so he was often beset or gathered around by these crowds. And he had compassion on them. He says, I had compassion on the multitude. They've been with me now for 3 days. Think about that. They had been sitting under the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 days. They've been there in his midst. I don't know what all went on. I get in my mind a picture. You know, isn't it amazing how we get to squirming and worrying about, we've been here, oh man, we've been here for 30 minutes. Or we've been here for an hour. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You know, when the Lord gives men a desire to hear the Word of God, time doesn't mean anything to them. You know that's true in any of the pursuits that you have in this world. When you're doing something that you really like, time doesn't mean anything to you. You know, I've heard of people sitting down and watching a TV program and getting so involved in it that they just watch for 6-7 hours watching TV. You know, because they just get caught up in it. I mean, if you sit down and watch a ball game, I mean, you're going to sit there and you're going to just be enraptured by that thing for whatever time. Because that's what a man seeks after, is the thing that will satisfy him. And so it is that these people had been with the Lord Jesus for 3 days, hearing him teach. And the Lord had compassion on them. And he said they don't have anything to eat. Now, they probably, some of them took some stuff with them, but I mean, you know, after 3 days, it's hard to carry enough stuff with you to eat for 3 days, especially if you're just out in the middle of nowhere. And so they didn't have anything to eat. Probably a lot of them had been without something to eat for quite some time. And he says, if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way. He said, they've gone far as they can go. And the Lord will never bring a man farther than he can go, because he'll undergird him with strength. You remember when Moses, when the nation, children of Israel, were in a battle, I forget who it was they were fighting. But as long as Moses' arms were held up, the children of Israel prevailed. And when it started flag down, they would start being defeated. And so I think Joshua, and I forget who else, Aaron maybe, held up the arms of Joseph, so that, or of Moses. And so that demonstrates the weakness of men. I mean, you can't hold your arms up but so long. And the Lord knows your weakness. He knows that you are flesh. And he will not lead you or demand of you that more than you can bear. What Paul said, that he will not bring upon us more than we can bear, but he will with the temptation make a way that you might escape. But anyway, the Lord had compassion on these people, And he asked the disciples, now why did the Lord, there's a lot of reasons why the Lord did a lot of the things that he did, but the primary reason that he did the things that he did was to teach his disciples. See, he did all these things in order to bring his disciples. Because while he taught the multitudes, it was to those whom he chose out from the multitude that he specifically would instruct with his word. He taught them things that he didn't give to others. And so he asked the disciples, or he said, you know, we need to feed these people. And his disciples said, well, where are we going to get the food? Now, this is an amazing thing because not too long before this, he had fed 5,000 men, and not including the women and children, with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, you would think, would you not, that the disciples would have thought, well, nothing to it. I mean, here, just feed these people. You can do it, Lord. But you see, men, the Lord said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. Now, a lot of people look at that and they think, oh, well, we need to get us some of that faith, buddy. We're going to get up this faith. And a lot of people think they have that kind of faith. But what the Lord was teaching was that men don't have faith. Because if you had faith, you could do that, but you don't. And that's what the Lord was teaching, was not how you could get faith or what you could do if you got faith, but he was teaching men that they don't have faith. And he's teaching his disciples a valuable lesson here, as we will see. And his disciples answered, what are we going to do? He said, well, how many loaves do you have? Yeah, I can almost, it's almost as if he said, he shook his head. You know, here you had 5 loaves and 2 fishes I fed the people. Well, how many loaves do you have? Huh? I know he didn't say it like that, but no doubt. But he asked them this question. They said 7. Now, that was more than they had the first time. So they should have, should they not? I mean, you know, people say, oh, man, if I'd have been there with the Lord, I'd have believed. No, you wouldn't. You'd have been just like them. You'd have been dull of hearing, and the Lord would have said, can you feed? And you'd have said, Lord, I don't know what we're going to do. Because every time we face some obstacle in our life, it's not the first thing that we do. Say, oh, no, what can we do? Oh, we're in, oh, my. Look, the Lord is the one who's going to solve the problem here. He brought them there so he could solve that problem, so he could demonstrate to them that he could solve the problem. And so it is. That doesn't make any difference what obstacle is in our way. May the Lord, by his grace, give us minds to understand that he alone can solve this problem. And he's brought these things upon us that not so that we might learn how to solve the problem, but that we might learn to wait upon the Lord, that he might solve the problem. Now he will no doubt in many cases, in most cases, use natural things to bring these things to pass. But our first place of refuge is always to look unto him for guidance and help. And so he commanded them to sit down, and they had a few fishes as well. And he blessed it. He gave it to them. Same way he did with the 5,000, and they were filled, and they picked up what was left and had 7 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 4,000. He sent them away, and he entered into a ship with his disciples, and they came to the parts of Dalmanutha. Now, this is a different scenario. And the Pharisees, when he got to Dalmanutha, parts of Dalmanutha, which is a region of that country, and the Pharisees came forth, began to question him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, tempting him. Isn't that the way men are by nature? We want to see something. See, men want to see things. And so it is, religion is a place that men like to see things. And, of course, there's no shortage of miracle workers in the land. They go about, if you listen to them, they'll tell you they can perform miracles and do all sorts of things. And they do signs and wonders. I've been in some meetings before in my lifetime when these supposed miracles took place and people's legs was lengthened and people's backs got better and all this kind of stuff. And the amazing thing is, next time you saw them, their back was hurting. You know, look, when the Lord does something, He does something. And we'll see Him heal a blind man. Now, I guarantee you, if you'd come back next week after He healed that blind man was still being able to see. He wasn't temporarily healed, but he was healed. And so men come looking for signs. They want to see things. They want to have dreams and visions. And you'll often have people, well, the Lord told me this. Well, I can't say the Lord didn't tell you something. I can't tell anybody that the Lord didn't tell you because I wasn't there. And I don't know what the Lord may do or how He may appear unto you. But I'm telling you this, if you go about in your life seeking a sign, you are going to be greatly disappointed. Because signs, even if you get one, you're going to be wondering 20 minutes later, well, was that really a sign from the Lord? You remember Gideon? I mean, he said, Lord, if you really want me to go do this, I'm going to put this fleece out here, and if you'll cause it to have dew everywhere on the ground but no dew on the fleece, then I'll know that you sent me. Well, that happened. And what did he do? He said, well, Lord, you know, I saw that, but you know, it could have been. That just happened that way. He said, this time, he said, what I want you to do is I want you to put dew on the fleece and let the ground be dry. And that happened. I still think probably in Gideon's mind he was a little bit doubtful. Why? Because men doubt. I mean, seeing a sign is a thing. I mean, I've seen some things I couldn't explain in my life, things that have taken place. But they don't have any lasting use to you. I mean, they're here and they're gone. You forgot about it. See, people don't believe because of signs and miracles. The Lord used signs and miracles to bring attention to what He said, not so that men might say, oh, He's a great miracle worker. Now, in the flesh, you see, men followed Him for the loaves and fishes. They followed Him because they saw these miracles. Because this evil generation, as He said, that you seek for a sign. You want to see something. But He said, what you need to do is listen. Now, He told in another place when they asked this same thing, and maybe perhaps even the same instance, He said, there will be a sign given. He said, it will be the sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the grave, or in the belly of the earth, or in the whale's belly, He said, so shall the Son of Man be in the earth. That is a sign. If you want a sign, if you really want to seek a sign, go to look at that empty tomb. And that tells you all you need to know, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, that He is the Savior, and that He will come and receive those whom He has purchased unto Himself. But He said to them, this evil generation seeks a sign, and the disciples, and He left them. He didn't spend a lot of time with them. The Lord didn't waste His time with the Pharisees. He pretty much shut them up and went on His way. He didn't spend a lot of time sitting around reasoning with them. And He said to His disciples, don't cast your pearls before swine. You know, don't waste your time. I mean, if men are not desirous of hearing the Word of God, you can't put it down their throat. As a younger man, I used to think, buddy, if I can get in here and I can just have this argument with this guy and I can show him what the truth is, he'll just melt down and say, man, that's right. I'm still waiting for that to happen. You see, that doesn't happen because men are hard-hearted by nature, and except the Lord opened the heart, they cannot see and they don't have any desire to. And so He left them, and the disciples, and they got into a ship again and were going. They often traveled by ship. Even though they were maybe up the coast, they would go by ship because it was easier to get in the ship and go than it was to walk. They could go quicker by that way. But anyway, so they were in the ship, and the Lord said to them, or the disciples said, we don't have any bread. And they were reasoning among themselves, well, what are we going to do? And the Lord said, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they thinking, as men will think, carnally, they said, well, he's warning us about going and buying bread from the Pharisees or Herod. And the Lord said, look, so why are you worrying about having no bread? Don't you know that I can make bread out of nothing? I can multiply bread in a moment. That's nothing to that. How is it that you do not understand? Why is that? Because he said, ye have hardened your hearts. Men, you don't have to do anything to harden your heart. See, the scripture says Pharaoh hardened his heart because that was the natural state that he was in. See, he hardened his heart because that was what Pharaoh was. But the scripture also says that the Lord hardened his heart. And which was it? Well, it was both. You see, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart in the hardness of Pharaoh's heart. The Lord doesn't harden a man's heart who's seeking to know the way of God. The Lord hardens the hearts of those that will not seek after God. Because if a man, by the grace of God, has been given a tender heart to seek after him, the Lord will not turn around then and harden man's heart where he can't know the Lord, will he? I mean, if the Lord awakens a man to seek after him and gives him a hunger and a thirst for the things of God, will the Lord then turn his back on him? No, 1,000 times no. He's a God of mercy and kindness. And those in whom he begins a work of grace, he will finish it. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now we're coming to, I'm going to stop right here because we're coming to the kind of a break in things. He's going to restore the sight to a blind man, but we've kind of run out of time and I don't want to overstay my welcome. But may the Lord give us minds and hearts wherein we recount the things that we have seen and heard from the lips of the Lord through his word, and be as those who desire for the Lord to lead them, not go about trying to figure out the way on our own, to go about what we need to do. Brother Al touched on it there a minute ago. You know, it's just a natural thing to react to the way other people are. That's just natural. And it's natural for us to think that we are justified in reacting the way we do to other people, if we're in the right, especially. Well, only as the Lord gives a man understanding can he learn. As the Lord said, if a man smites you on the right cheek, turn to him the left. Now that's the thing, totally contrary to the reasoning of men, is it not? I can't think of anything that is more contrary to the natural thought of man than that. In fact, I've heard many people say, well, the Lord, he just didn't understand, you know, what it was. No, the Lord did understand. That's why he taught men that, because he knew that men could not and would not do that by nature. But that's what he told us to do, is it not? I mean, did he not demonstrate the same? When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he was persecuted, he prayed for those that despitefully used him. Oh, that the Lord might give us such a mind and heart that we might be the followers of Christ, not just those that say we are, but see that we might demonstrate that we are the children of God by the grace of God. Only he can bring such things to pass in